actually a conference call guest, Frank Roberts, and the spelling of it, you think it would go Dink Robert, but it isn't, because he's an American. And Dink has been chosen to be the distributor for this extraordinary product that he calls, or the optimist calls, the spice. And so what I'd like to do is invite Dink on. And are you there, Dink? Are you on the call?
I am on the call, Dennis. And I thank you all for taking time to listen to what I might have to say and what I will have to say. I'm presently looking at the granite cliffs and the valley floor from Yosemite National Park. And it is a glorious summer day here. And I bring the park to you through my senses, and however it might be that alchemically I can bring you the essence of this valley and its magnificent energy and the spiritual mastery that one feels in this place. It's truly a sacred place to be. I think John Muir described it well. And I couldn't think of a better place to express what will come through in this call than this place. So welcome all. And I thank you. I'm very grateful and humbled to be a speaker on this. I know that many of the alchemists and chemists that have spoken on this have a great deal more experience in their field than I do in mine. And so it is with gratitude and with a humble spirit that I greet you all.
Thank you. Now, what I'd like to ask things before we start off the call content is, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and about as much as you can reveal about the alchemist who I just call A, who's somewhere in Texas. So would you tell
right.
us a little bit about yourself to start with?
Sure. I could say a lot because there's a lot of aspects to our personality. And what the spice has done for me is allowed me to see from a place where I'm going to recognize the figments that of our imagination that we call personality. And it allows me to see through that which might be important in myself and to come from a place of non-attachment. But non-attachment has been, in my experience, kind of a negative of a negative, not a real positive condition. The real condition that is senior to personality development, in my mind and in my experience, has been the discovery in my own life of how to come from a place of integrity and make integrity be job one. So I'm just an ordinary guy. I've been a surfer. I've been a plumber, plumbing contractor for many years. I retired from plumbing about 5 years ago and began an odyssey. And the spice has been there with me in every leg of this journey. I met Buzz Lang in San Francisco at a Wired Magazine high technology conference. It was actually an exhibition at Fort Mason. And he was demonstrating an airplane, a rocket-powered, liquid-fueled rocket-powered airplane. That was his job at the time. Buzz, as some of you might not know, is the system administrator and founder of the White Gold Forum. He went to some of David Hudson's early lectures and had started his path manufacturing colloidal silver and had the only FDA-approved laboratory and procedure to do so. It was at one of the the calls or the conferences that he went to, that he met Mr. A, the metallurgist, who had isolated a powdered white gold from a gold ore. And the metallurgist is quite humble in his description of his own importance in relationship to this material. He merely states that he is high-grading it. It's a high-graded material, ubiquitous in nature, and concentrated in very rare places on the planet where it exists in relationship to clay and 150 micron and smaller gold particles. The metallurgist took 5 to 6 years before he trusted me to be his mouthpiece, to be the distributor, to be the person that would talk about this. He is extremely reticent to be exposed. He is extremely reticent to describe things to the public. He's a very private person and a very, very well-rounded person in his personal life. He is an expert marksman. He can take an 11-millimeter handgun and at Olympic range fire off a clip of bullets with one hand, bang, 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 at that speed and cut the ace out of the ace of spades. He literally can see the bullets. He's a concert pianist. He is an author of screenplays. He can write a screenplay in 3 to 5 days complete from start to finish. He is a metallurgist, a mathematician, a philosopher, a student of history. In particular, he's a student of unauthorized history, the kind of history that Mr. Sitchin wrote about from the Sumerian. And it is that study of that history that gives him the insight as to what this material does, its place in history and ancient history, and what its effect is upon these hybrid human bodies that we live in as spirits on this planet. The metallurgist I regard as an older brother. I trust him like few people on the planet, and he is warm and generous and loving until he is crossed. And then it is hell to pay on many levels when the other side of his nature emerges, which is the result of what he called many, many lifetimes as a warrior. So in this lifetime, he has been a warrior, a first-class warrior, and that's all I am allowed to say. Despite this material, this powdered white gold, he first discovered about 10 years ago. He did so because a foreign national had found a clay deposit that he was wishing to extract gold from. The metallurgist had created a type of liquid surfactant that had an effect of negating the electropositivity of the 150 micron and smaller gold particles. What that means is that the interfactional tension, the electrical, I think it's like van der Waal forces and electrostatic forces at the molecular level, his material had somehow had an effect upon, so it negated those charges. And as such, this material fell by gravity away from the clay body. in a liquid solution. As an artifact of harvesting powdered gold, metallic gold, a slime adhered to the vessel reaction chamber. This slime grabbed his immediate interest simply because he had spent such amount of time and effort to get to that stage of the reaction. And spending that much money, what's this stuff? He took it to his laboratory after he tried to capture it. When he tried to capture it, it literally evaded capture. It was motile. It moved away from his capturing instrument. After he figured out how to capture it, he placed it under a microscope, wanting to see what this was. It was protoplasmic, without a cell wall or nuclei. He then placed it out in the sun, and it turned golden yellow, and then ruby red, and then it disappeared without a trace. He then took it into the... Yes. He knew at that point that this was an extraordinary material in that he had not witnessed any other material in his metallurgical training to have this effect, to have these properties. He then took it into the wet lab, and no acid and no base had any effect whatsoever upon it. He then began to use some out-of-the-box thinking, and this gentleman was brilliant before the spice. When he was 2 years old, he was discussing Descartes with his grandfather, who was the Superior Court judge. So he could have graduated from high school in his freshman year, but chose to stay in sports and had a very successful year in, or a number of years, on his high school teams. He then went to college and then got, I think he drafted, he was in the Vietnam War in a very special capacity, and then graduated and got a master's degree in metallurgy, from where I do not know. He intended to use that specialized knowledge in the oil field. However, when he discovered this surfactant and perfected its method of manufacture, which took him 10 years, and the death of one of his sons, he then began this odyssey to understand its relationship to the submicron gold and many other scientific researches that he's done in many other fields. So before he began the spice, he was a brilliant guy. When he took it into the lab and finally figured out after a two-week period how to resolve it into this white powder, he then placed it in a liter jar, stoppered on a shelf in his laboratory with all the other powdered, toxic, metallic powders. Most metallic powders in a metallurgical lab are severely toxic. It turns out that he mentioned to one of his close associates that he had made something out of this material, and he didn't know what it was, and that person spoke to one of David Hudson's investors. And that investor called him up, and then the next day showed up at his laboratory and asked him if anybody had eaten it. And in factual fact, no, are you crazy? This is a toxic powder. At which point he signed a paper stating, you're not liable if I die if I eat some, and he ate some, and he verified that it had a psychoactive or psychoenergetic property. At that point, it went back on the laboratory shelf, and several weeks later, he met a gentleman who was an ex-ranger or an ex-pilot. I think he was a fighter pilot in Vietnam who had been captured by the North Vietnamese Army and had been placed in a POW camp out in the jungle. He was kept in a bamboo cage. He weighed about 95 pounds, and I think his normal weight is about 180, 175, 180. He was skin and bones, and he was dying of hepatitis. The Army Rangers that found him thought that he would die on the way to the helicopter. In actual fact, he made it, and they nursed him back to health. And many years later came down again with a recurrence of hepatitis C. The metallurgist gave him this powder, saying, you're going to die anyway. Why don't you see if this has any effect? The patient was on a regimen from a university laboratory in a field trial of interferon C and a liver enlarging drug that caused him to have severe, he was barfing, okay? He's dry heaving 6 hours a day in the shower.
Now, just before you go on, Vink, can I just say someone has come on, and we're getting feedback now. Would everyone on the call have done so already so we can cut down any background noise, and that way we can have a nice, clear signal from Vink's? Because I can still hear myself echoing.
Yeah, somebody's on a speakerphone or something like that, and that's what the echo is.
So please hit star 6 right now.
And if you don't, I will. Go ahead.
So whoever's...
Okay, Ben, thank you. Carry on.
The former POW began eating 3 teaspoons per day of this material, morning, noon, and night, very religiously. The next morning, his nausea was completely gone. On the third day, he describes his vision extending to a realm that he had only seen in an Alex Gray painting, with white grid lines and beings from other dimensions.
Sounds like somebody's not muted. Go ahead and continue.
A month later, he went in for his regular checkup, and his viral load had reduced 40%. 3 months or 4 months later, he had no virus of any kind in his system. The University Medical Center and the doctor conducting this study gave him every blood test and cellular test they could find, and there was no delta, no change before and after his using of this material. As a last resort, they did a bone marrow extraction, and they looked at the telomere caps on the end of his chromosomes. And in the 4 months that he had been eating the spice, his cellular biological chromosomal age had reverted 20 years from a 55-year-old to a 35-year-old person. At that point, the metallurgist was called in, and he gave them one shot, and they looked at his telomeres, and in actual fact, he was a young man as well. Okay? So that is...
I want some. First. Oh, God, I already got some, that's right.
You've got
That's
some.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then when...
And I love it.
When they tried to get that data, the lead doctor in the study took on the department head of oncology at I think Cornell or somewhere, some major university, and would not even return their calls. It was like, I'm going to bury this data and nobody's going to get it because it's just too wacko, too anecdotal, I'm not interested. Okay? So, when I met Buzz Lang at the Wired magazine exposition in Fort Mason in San Francisco, that was about year 2005, around July of 2005. 1 month later, on my regular round through California, I met him in Mojave at the Mojave Airport. And he took me on a tour of the aerospace facility that he was director of flight operations for. And we had a, you know, I'm kind of a nerd, kind of a geek, and we talked geeky, nerdy stuff. And then I said, what else do you do? He says, well, I'm the system administrator for the White Gold Plum. Oh, yeah, White Gold. I heard about that stuff. Isn't that like monoatomic gold? Oh, yeah, that's what that is. Well, do you have any? Is it good for you? Oh, yeah, it's really good for you. Well, can I try some? Sure. Takes me out to his truck. He's got a little pill vial, and he opens up, and he pours a pile about the size of a dime in my palm. I go, oh, that's it. So you eat that? He says, yeah. You mind if I eat
line
it?
Is now
no.
Unmuted.
If you have a line that's unmuted, please push *6 to mute it so that we do not get feedback or background noises.
This
Thank
line
you.
Is now muted.
I had to unmute my line. For some reason, my line on the free room got muted, which means that nobody could hear. I think
very well.
What was happening.
Very well.
Sorry.
So I ate this dime-sized pile of spice, and Buzz looked at me with an expression of veiled horror, and in essence he said, dude, you just took a heroic dose. Let's go for a drive. So yeah. So I said, okay, let's go for a drive. And about every 3 minutes, he looks at me and he says, well, how are you feeling? Are everything okay? And after about 15 minutes, I said, dude, I'm feeling really edgy. Like I took a bit of LSD. It feels like I took a bit of LSD, but I'm not like seeing any visuals and I'm not feeling my ego dissolve or I'm just feeling like charged and energized. And after about an hour, that feeling hadn't dissipated, but it had kind of moved into the background. It wasn't front and center. And that feeling stayed for weeks, like something fundamentally shifted in Banks' physiology, in my electrochemistry. And I took, I drove from his place to Esalen where I took some kind of workshop there that I was signed up for. And I was just a wild me. I was so out of the box. It was like something was just liberated in me and I was just out of the box. I was just too wild, too crazy, too energetic, just like, I don't know, I guess, like manic or something.
Could you hold for
and
a second?
And then after that, yes.
This line is now unmuted.
For some reason, the line keeps getting muted onto the free room. I don't know why. But go ahead, continue.
So the next week I was in camp with my daughter. This is family camp up in the Sierras outside of Strawberry Lake. And we're in the swimming pool, and she says, Dad, why don't you do some dives? Well, I hadn't been on a springboard for 10 years, and I was never really a good diver. So I did like a jackknife, and I ripped it, and I went, wow, that's pretty good. So then I said, well, I'll try a backflip. And I ripped a backflip. And then I tried a front flip, which I usually end up flat on my back. I just never really learned to do front flips. And I ripped a front flip. And then I ripped the back flip. And then I ripped the front flip. And I said, I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. And then we did a nature hike. And all of a sudden, I was remembering Latin names from college botany from 20 years before. What is going on here? There's something happening here. And then they had a community dance, and I'm dancing like a wild man, like I've never danced. And I'm going, I was just so coordinated and doing stuff, and I'm going, there's something that's happening here. So over the next month, I went and saw Buzz again. He had talked to the metallurgist and gave me my own sample, and I began taking it on a daily basis. And the only real experience I could say I was having was I was having aha's. An aha is like in the back of my mind I'm mulling something over. Like I don't understand something about the physics or the chemistry or psychology or mathematics or how life works or whatever it is I'm interested in, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah. Well, I'm having like an aha or two or three a week. And I'm going, wow, there's something going on. What I believe actually was happening was the gold was displacing heavy metals and toxic substances from the synapses and the neurons in my brain. And my brain was actually starting to operate as it was designed to do. My whole life I felt like what I wanted to say, I couldn't say. And when I tried to say it, I would stumble. But now, it was like I was formulating what I was going to say a sentence or two before my mouth said it. There's something happening, but I couldn't say quite what it was. And at that point, the metallurgist said, he and I had a long conversation on the telephone, and within 2 weeks of that conversation, I showed up at his home with a friend that I hadn't seen for 15 years. And I met the gentleman who was cured of his hep C. And he walks up to me, and he says a couple things I've never forgotten. He says, we've been looking at you for the last 6 months. The 5D said that you would be coming. And now that you're taking the spike, keep your motives pure. Watch your motives. And I took that advice to mean something other than I might have made some mistakes in the past. And what I have discovered is that to put it on the bottom line, the environment that I live in is part of a huge sentiency. And that sentiency has dynamics or echoes, or it's an echo of another dynamic. And those dynamics we call other planes of consciousness or other kinds of beingness. And they extend from this mundane or sublime Earth planet existence that we have all the way to the heart of paradise, all the way to what we call our spiritual home. And every one of them is as real and connected to this as we are. It's like we live in a giant awareness. And every little thing we do and behave and think of, every bit of what we are and do has an effect upon that. And I've been given this huge gift to be able to operate this body in an expanded state of capability. Don't blow it. Use this opportunity to wake up. The biggest part of Banks' problem in waking up is lack of character and lack of understanding of how to behave. And so I've paid attention to that. How is it that my behavior impacts upon other people? What should I be doing? How do I need to modulate my emotions? And I've discovered that as I do that, what I would heretofore have called the spiritual path, i.e. meditation or prayer or study, processes, pranayama, etc., those are scaffolded upon the foundation of character. Without character, the rest of it is kind of doesn't matter. So that's about Banks. That's about how I discovered the spice. And that's a little bit about the metallurgist. Dennis, I'm going to let you moderate and steer this conversation from now on.
Well, thanks, Binks, and I hardly said doing that because that was completely fascinating to listen to, and thank you for that. By now, you must have reported, I must have sort of learned of all manner of effects the spice has on people besides the stuff you've just mentioned. Is there anything that you want to mention right now that you have observed as an effect that people have reasonably commonly when they have spice in their life?
Yes. And here I'm going to delve into this ancient history, the forbidden archaeology and the forbidden story of humanity. It is believed that Mr. Sitchin essentially got the story right, that there were and are a group of beings called Anunnaki who have some kind of parentage, some kind of custodial relationship to humanity, and that somehow they had to alter our genetics to be good slaves, good gold miners for them, smart enough and obedient enough. Well, that obedience was not working when beings are spiritually awake. And the only way to dumb down the species, apparently, was to instill an enzyme that degraded endogenous dimethyltryptamine in the brain. Our pituitary body produces that chemistry. When this implanted genetic material caused the degradation of that, we lost a certain ability to see multidimensionally, and we thought that this plane of existence is all that there is. In essence, we became kind of robotic humanoid. We couldn't see the spiritual effects of our actions. We were robbed of a bit of intuitive function. And it wasn't until the promulgation of the yoga that people did pranayama and started harvesting their own ormus through their breathwork.
Would you tell me the name of, of that particular biochemical agent again? Tell us again.
The pituitary body makes a psychedelic, an endogenous psychedelic called dimethyltryptamine. And our
body produces
an enzyme that degrades it. And it is that function of the spice to negate that implanted DNA that causes a certain wakefulness. One of the things I noticed was that I needed a lot less sleep and that my intuition began to serve me very well. I began an odyssey to meet what I call wizards, scientists that understand how things work on a senior causative level. Okay? When we talk about wizardry, a wizard is somebody who understands how things work. If we understand how things work on a real senior causative level, we literally can create wisdom in any domain that we operate knowledge in. Wisdom is an operator senior to knowledge. Knowledge is an operator senior to data or fact. We use knowledge to manipulate facts. We use wisdom to manipulate knowledge, to choose which knowledge to operate. When as a wizard can understand wizardry, he then is at the threshold of the verb we call enlightenment or enlightening. Enlightenment is nothing more than moment-to-moment, elegant, efficient behavior operating from a place of cause. We see beyond all the veils. We know that we are spirit. We know that beyond the mind is being, and we experience that as the primordial radiance in our consciousness. So the spice has enabled me to make the leap from being fixated on my problems, my life, to being more of a student of wisdom, to being able to self-assemble the facets of understanding of wizardry, to be able to come to a place where I could begin to understand what enlightenment actually is and how it works. Enlightenment, in my experience, is simply being self-luminous awareness. It's simply operating from a standpoint of senior cause. It's gotten there simply by intentionality. Intentionality is that which bootstraps us from being effect to being cause. Intentionality on the most senior level is what the theosophists and Alice Bailey call spiritual will, which is an aspect of the triad, the monadic consciousness, the spark, the immortal spark of flame of divine awareness that we all are. It's what Ramana Maharshi calls Padam in his book Padamalai. So the spice, Dennis, in your own experience, has begun to wake up the imagery part of your brain. That's the DMT beginning to operate to wake up the aspects of your brain that have been heretofore visually dormant. My wife, Nicola, used to drive freeways in a complete panic. And when she began eating the spice, all of a sudden, she could see and feel every car on the freeway around her, and she completely relaxed. She started hitting all the red, all the green lights, and her intuition began going in overdrive. So that is some of the effects that people have noticed. In my life, I've noticed a great synchronicity happening. I've noticed a lack or a need or a want or a desire. And it's when it is on purpose, as it were, these things simply fall in place and happen without much effort. And that is why I call it the mineral of intentional coincidence. It has an effect upon two negative conditions in people's physiology. The first is that it tends to displace heavy metals. If a person is heavy metal toxic, I don't mean just have heavy metals, but they're toxic from heavy metals, it will place such a burden upon the liver and the glutathione cycle that they can actually get very sick. And this happened to a researcher friend of mine, a brilliant guy, who had, he really, he had negative chi in his liver as a result of taking too much spice with me. Another lady and her husband noticed that they had kidney pains when they took this. Again, probably heavy metal toxicity. They both ate a lot of fish. I suspect they had mercury and some other kind of toxicity working in their body. The other effect that it has is upon the viral load. My wife was in the sun. She's a blonde British citizen, blue-eyed blonde, very pale skin, out in the Malibu sunshine with me over the weekend, last weekend, and got a fever blister on her lip and took some of this powder and placed it on her lip. And that night, rather than an eruption, it had completely gone away. There are certain population of persons on the planet that are suffering a particular viral load that results in secondary infections. And to the degree that that population has discovered the spice and given themselves over to a regular maintenance dose of it, they have recovered immune functions that were thought to have been destroyed. In other words, they could carry on with their life from being pretty much on a death's door.
What do most people use as a maintenance dose?
I can't answer that question. I can say this. Our consciousness has the ability to communicate with anything non-verbally. Since everything that is and exists has an awareness, an aliveness, a consciousness, a beingness, and the spice especially, the metallurgist's advice to every one of these persons is create your own conscious relationship with it. Let it speak to you and tell you how much to take. And I'm going to digress on that notion for just a second. His statement to me, most recent statement to me, is that he is not an alchemist in the traditional sense of the word. He says, I have simply discovered the way to concentrate and high grade this naturally occurring mineral material. The original material that he created 10 years ago is probably 10% as potent as the stuff that I sent Dennis and I sent Barry. And I sent some samples out to probably a half a dozen other people since then. I don't know how many of them have taken it yet. Barry's experience was, he says, I noticed the whirlies. Dennis's experience is that his level of consciousness, as he plots it out on David Hawkins' scale of enlightenment, increased 10 points when he took the spice. So people take it for different reasons. They take it for health. They take it for kind of an avant-garde hit to expand their consciousness or get a little thrill from the energies released. I always caution everybody that takes it. This is a double-edged sword material. It has the capability of kind of making your brain and nervous system be superconductive. You're operating at a baud rate of 600% of normal humanity. As a result, it's very easy to get into a power trip. It's really easy to lose the humility that allowed you to find this material. And I caution you all, just stay as close to the ground as you can. Let life humble you wherever it comes. Do not defend yourself. Allow yourself to be destroyed. Allow yourself to go to zero. When your mind goes to zero...
That's not a problem. That's not a problem for me because I'm the humblest person on earth.
Yep. Even if you say so.
Well, by the same token, can't you use that energy to create miracles and to create a difference on the planet?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I join you in that spirit. I have originated a philosophy based on my years of taking it. And I'm going to encapsulate it without explaining it. Integrity informs behavior. Transformation informs experience. Service informs destiny. And if you're not having fun with those three statements, there's something the matter. Go back to your source consciousness and straighten it out. Okay? So, back to you, Dennis.
How can we order some of this?
Thomas, I'll get to the 9 points.
All right. Everybody get a pencil and paper.
Pencil and paper ready.
All right. You're going to send a postal money order or a personal check or cash, if you trust the post office, to this company, Industrial Water Quality, LLC, Post Office Box 748, City of Oxnard, O-X-N-A-R-D, California, 93032-0748. To communicate with me directly, my email address is BENGT@Zulu.com. The cost for a small sample.
ZZ.com.
That's ZZ.com. same as the white gold form.
That means you've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
The, to purchase a full vial of the material is $150. Postage in the United States is $5. Postage overseas is $16. A sample is $15 plus postage. I have three grades of the material currently, actually four grades of the material commercially available. I have the original material, and I have a limited amount of it, and that is for sale for $100 per vial. Then I have the spice as it's being manufactured today for $150 per vial. I have the pink tiger, which is a higher grade material with a little red ormus thrown in. That is $300 a vial. And then I have a very limited amount of a red ormus made by in the same process for $450 per vial. I sent Dennis a sample of each. I'll let Dennis describe his experience of each of them.
Well, the thing that I noticed is that I actually had all three for the last two nights. A dab of all three, a sprinkling of all three, and I had this very unusual sleep. It was wasn't exactly Technicolor, but it was like another reality of sleeping, where actually two nights ago, and I posted this in one of my almost posts, I slipped through. Well, actually, I was awoken by two people trying to call me, so it was clearly after about 8:30 or 9 in the morning. And I, both times I just went back to sleep because I wanted to re-immerse myself in the richness and the sweetness of the experience. Now, this is quite uncommon for me. And I've noticed that, like, I keep a fairly good track on my level of operating consciousness on a day-to-day basis, because it's something I've been doing for a long time. And it's one of the ways that I calibrate a good ormus. And that's on its ability to give me a lift in my LOC, as I call it, or level of consciousness on Hawkins' map of consciousness scale, in the must-have book called Power versus Force. And I have to tell you guys, if you get this book and you learn how to use a pendulum or do kinesiological testing, and you start calibrating on where you're at and where other people are at and where the people, places, and things that you associate with are at, it's going to give you extraordinary insight into what's going on in the invisible, usually unquantifiable field of consciousness. But anyway, that's a distraction in terms of the, it's just slightly off topic. But the net effect was that this feeling of a quiet elation, of this kind of like feeling smugly satisfied with how good the world is. So thank you, Dink. That was a real treasure. That was a real treat.
Well, I'm gonna say something more. The metallurgist describes his sleep experiences as lucid dreams in the 5D. This means that he has met the planetary administrators and their representatives to his efforts in regards to the spikes. He has seen me and communicated with me in those dreams. He has witnessed my, I don't know if the word is transformation as much as, use the word graduating. Perhaps the better word is promotion. I've been given a different rank, a different promotion up there. And I've been given the task of seeing this get out into the general population. And I've been very reluctant to place it into the public eye. Dennis has been after me for 1 year to get on this program, and I've kind of ran out of excuses. However, in the 5D state, and this I think is one of the more extraordinary stories, he was having some difficulties in his life, and they handed him a new set of administrators to work with, very much nicer people to work with. And then they handed him a package in the 5D. So here he is, he's having a lucid dream at night with beings that he regularly visits with on some other level of consciousness, and they hand him a package, and in the morning he cannot find his dentures. His dentures are always at his bedside on the nightstand. They're not there. He looks through the whole house, finally goes upstairs to his office, and there they are, on his desk, next to the package they handed him in the 5D. It turns out that they had been doing a little manifestation somewhere, and here was a number of packages of spice. I gave some of this once to an extraordinarily open young man, a guy named Adam Apollo, who lectures about off-planet stuff and our history of our planet and where we're going as a species. And he took one look at it and he says, oh, this came from the Arcturians. Well, I took a lot of that material. And I can say that the new material that the metallurgist makes or isolates is on a par with that or even better. For years, when the metallurgist did his manufacturing, at a certain stage in the process, there was an ester, an acidified alcohol smell. He said it smelled like bread being baked. If he breathed those vapors, he would be awake for a week. Not sleepy, not tired, not anything. Just awake, 24 hours. And then he'd go to sleep. He'd crash for about 2 or 3 days. Those vapors have now been recaptured and are in the new material. Another extraordinary thing happened, and this is another kind of woo-woo story. During the manufacturing process, the slime is isolated from the clay body, and they use a mesh. There's different meshes used in mining for sifting isolates, and the clay and the water is pushed through this. This operation was being done by his lab. Pardon? Is being done by his lab assistant's young son. Young kid, maybe 10 or 12 years old. Making some penny money at night. And in that part of Texas, it's very humid and very wet. And there's a lot of bugs. And it was dusk. He was outside doing this operation, and he was getting chewed by mosquitoes. He said, it would be really nice if these bugs weren't here. Instantly, his dog started yapping and growling and barking uncontrollably for about 10 minutes. When he finally got the dog and all the neighborhood dogs at the same time to settle down, he looked around. There was not a single thing flying. They're all dead on the ground. 2 days later, the metallurgist, in his colorful language, says, "What the bleep are all these bleeping bugs doing on the bleeping ground?" And the young boy told him the story. And he and the XPOW took a tour of 10 acres of alfalfa. Every single fire ant colony was dead as well. When I heard this phenomena, I called up my friend Ron Cousson. I'm sure some of you know Ron, a first-class physicist and metallurgist.
We had him as a guest on one of these calls.
Yes. Ron and I are very good friends. We spent many, many days and hours together. And we speak regularly and consult with each other and share stories and insights. I said, "Ron, how'd this work?" Oh, he says, "Very simple, Bank. The slime is a thought transducer. A transducer is something that takes one input, like an electrical input, and transduces it, changes its form into another output. Most transducers are underwater speakers where they take an electrical signal, and instead of an air wave sound, you get a pressure wave in water so you can hear underwater. Well, this, in this case, it's a thought transducer, and that is why, amongst the many reasons I call it the mineral of intentional coincidence, that piece of anecdotal evidence was how I summated to come to that conclusion that that's actually what was happening. So another reason to keep your motives pure. It's a double-edged sword. We have seen people take prodigious amounts of this material and go crazy. People that are personal life coaches, stable individuals with 1,000 hours of processing personally on themselves. Just clear people take too much of it and go off the deep end. Bugs has seen people take it, and he says, you know, if they start out a turd, they end up just a bigger tree. They're an asshole to start out with. They're just going to be a bigger asshole. That's how he describes Ormus. So that is why I place such an emphasis on character and such an emphasis on waking up in relationship to this material. It is so powerful and so strong that if I did not give you these cautions, you might use it for simply personal reasons. And while they may seem good to you, they're so circumspect and so small in the greater picture that your spirit, your soul, will end up trampling your personality afoot in order to learn the life lessons that you really need to learn. I would say the spice is an amplifier for Banks, of Banks' life lessons, for Banks to become a better person, a better husband, a better friend, a better business partner, a better vendor, a better customer, better person, better father to my family. Another story. My daughter began taking this material in high school, and she was a good student, but then when she started taking it, she breezed through high school with straight A's. And she just breezed through her first year at Dartmouth University with straight A's. She's just simply up against the brightest kids on the planet that get in there, and she's holding her own. And she just takes a little dab on the end of her finger every day. I suspect it's just made her brain superconductive. But what's more perhaps germane to the conversation is the feedback that I got from fellow parents on her high school and club volleyball team, where they said, your daughter took our daughter under her wing. Your daughter kind of was a mentor to our daughter. We talk about how your daughter plays on the team, just what an extraordinary player. I watched her reflex playing, you know, club level and high school championship volleyball, and I was just blown away by what she was able to accomplish. So, another effect. Excuse me, I'm a proud dad, and I get a little choked up when I talk about my daughter. I'm very proud of her. Great.
It's a great story. Carry on.
Well, masters create other masters.
No. Well, I'm a master of bullshit sometimes. And I'm a master of, self-deception sometimes. A master of avoiding pain and suffering. A master of deceiving myself. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. As brilliant as I might be, I'm equally part stupid sometimes. So, I have to say that. I have to be honest with you.
Excuse me, could you repeat the address that we need to send the monies to get some of this wonderful spice?
Sure.
And do you take PayPal?
I don't have
PayPal.
I don't like PayPal. I am going to set up my company on a payment service called Dwolla, Dwolla. And Dwolla charges 25 pennies per transaction. On a $300 transaction, PayPal charges me about $10.
Wow.
So I don't like PayPal. PayPal is taking corporate profit from, ordinary citizens. Corporate profit is happy to make 5 cents on a dollar after COG and taxes and R&D and reinvestment. They're happy to make 5 cents. And that's what PayPal charges out of whatever proceeds that come to me from doing the spice. So the address is, first of all, Industrial Water Quality, LLC, Post Office Box 748, Oxnard, California. That's OXNARD, zip 93032-0748.
So
thank you.
Just eliminated all the international customers.
For the international customers, I will arrange something within the next 2 weeks and announce it on the White Gold Forum. And I'm certain that Barry might be willing to broadcast it to the other forums where he is in charge. I only post on the White Gold Forum simply because I do not have time to follow all the other things. I run two companies. One is Industrial Water Quality, and the other one emerged from my travels and the spice, and that one is called Anu Water. And anuwater.com, you can read about that. It is not my purpose today to discuss that, other than to say it's pretty extraordinary water.
Cool.
So most of my time and energy is spent on those two companies, which is why I've never concentrated on being a distributor for the spice. And as I stated at the beginning of the call, the people that I had found to become distributors, I think it's Luminescent Foods, simply didn't execute what they said they would. They purchased a volume of material and then never placed it online. I think they ate it all themselves. So,
those greedy gutsers.
Yeah. So I have been kind of placed in this position kind of by default. And I'm not a metallurgist. I'm not an enormous manufacturer. I can say this about things, that when I began taking the spice, I went from kind of a smart guy to people telling me that I'm brilliant. And that brilliance is, in my mind, the ability to go to zero. Zero is the intersection of all planes of existence, of all domains, of all dimensions. Every Cartesian coordinate system begins at zero. And the ability to place one's mind in any domain is a function of intellectual freedom, spiritual freedom, preparation, so you have some idea of the data field you're going to encounter. And what I am told is that I have given people an intersection between scientific validation and an understanding of spirituality and an understanding of chemistry and physics and a rudimentary understanding of the mathematics. None of that really coalesced. None of that became scintillating or really at my fingertips until I began taking this material. I noticed that when I black off and a month or two goes by and I just, oh yeah, the spice, I noticed that I kind of slip into a certain amount of mundacity. I become somewhat boring. And the insights that I have somehow fade away. So that's Bank's experience with the spice.
One more time on your email, please.
The email address is
bncc@zz.com.
I'm sorry, I got the ngt@zz.com, but I didn't get the first two letters. Thank you.
Barry Edwards.
B-E.
E-E. Oh, okay.
No, B is in Barry, E is in Edward, N is in Nancy, G is in Gary, T is in Tango, @zzulu.com.
I got it. Thanks very much.
One T or two T's?
One.
Now, clearly, this has been a fascinating account. And we now have about 35 minutes left of the call, and I want to open the floor for questions. So if you want to ask a question, hit *7. And if you're not asking a question, please keep yourself muted. So I want to throw the floor open for questions at this point. Before you ask a question, just say who you are and where you're from, and then ask a question. Go.
Lou here, Tucson. Gonna write a book, maybe. Thinking about writing a book.
If I wrote a book, if I was to write a book, yeah, I've thought about it, and I've started one several times, and then my duties at the water company and my industrial water quality company have taken my time away.
That's very, very powerful stuff.
Thank you, Lou. What would you think I would write about?
Well, just what you said in your conversation today's delivery.
All right. Well, I guess I
can start. He's right, Frank. That was a compelling story.
and I'm sure you got a lot more.
I was awestruck by David Hawkins' stuff, by the way.
David is a mentor to me. Not that he knows me or I know him, but the material in his book has informed my consciousness. And I've had the extraordinary fortune to meet somebody and have a one-on-one relationship with them whose personal consciousness probably is around level of 700. And he is in the middle of disincarnating as we speak. However, being able to sit and talk with him one-on-one for a number of hours per month over the last year has elevated my LOC, has taken me to a place of enlightenment is something out there that happens to some people, to enlightenment is wanted by the universe in this body. The universe wants this body to wake up and this consciousness to wake up, wants this personality to cease its hold upon the nature of the flow, to become enlightened is not to somehow get better and better until you pass some magic threshold. To become enlightened is to realize that nature of self is enlightenment itself. And it's simply a matter of paying attention. When attention is placed upon the mundane and the personality needs, on negative states of anger and blame and judgment and jealousy and greed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it just simply distracts from that operation. And I don't say that I'm enlightened. I don't say I'm getting enlightened. However, the path has been opened up to me. And I have to say that that path is closed to people who are self-important, simply because it's a great obscuration. I guess that's why Jesus said it's easier for a camel than a rich man. It's the amount of attention placed upon what is important. And that self-luminous awareness that we are, there, my experience from time to time is that the higher chakras open up. And when the higher chakras open up, there is a field, like a matrix of wisdom beings whose diamond, gem-like consciousness interacts with us. And we're given the opportunity to see a much greater view vista than we can as personal lives here. It's a far, far richer experience than our personal life can afford on this plane. It's, I guess, a symptom of samadhi or a symptom of seeing things as they are. One way I have come to understand that, we talk about non-attachment. Non-attachment is an effect, not a cause. The real cause is how we behave. When we just let go of desire, the mind can go to zero. When the mind goes to zero, and all that goes to zero, we can all of a sudden see a larger domain. And in that larger domain, we begin to integrate with it and understand it and operate in it until we master it. And we master domain after domain after domain after domain until we literally master wisdom. And that's where this name or this title, Master of Wisdom, okay? That's where that comes from. They've literally had the gumption to confront their personal life and to confront their negative qualities, the evil that lived in them, the evil that they did, the attention toward that which did not serve. And as they placed themselves in service, their destiny emerged. And it's my contention that the spice has been instrumental in helping me kind of calm down and see the bigger picture. If I had not been willing to do the work to pay attention to integrity, and integrity work is not like a badge you get, I think it's more like a slap in the face that you're willing to accept where you're willing to see your faults. I think integrity is an ongoing process. I think that it's nuanceable, where you get finer and finer gradations of it. I have an aphorism about that. If I have integrity with the smallest things, the universe will do business with me.
Nice.
I had a question.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yes.
I had a question about, you mentioned...
Who's asking the question, please?
Sorry?
Who's asking the question,
yeah,
please?
Oh, this is
your
Bob
name?
From Phoenix.
Yep. How about
Bob Phoenix? And you had mentioned four different, grades of material that you're selling. You know, one was the original, and
yep,
another second was as it's being manufactured now. And then you mentioned two more. One, I believe, was a pink with red orris. I may not have that right. Can you tell me a little bit more about those, the last two you mentioned?
Yes. The metallurgist in his processing here before this year would throw away a certain byproduct that was red. And I implored him for years to send me that and let me play with it. But it just went down the hatch out into the back 40. When he started recapturing the ester, he then decided for some reason he would, maybe it was the 5D giving him instructions, because the 5D gives him a lot of instructions. He's in school. They download probably a couple Britannica books a night into his brain. He's getting so much information all the time. At any rate, he began recapturing this red powder, and to the degree that the powder is present, whether it's a 100% concentrate or he's creating an admixture with the spice to get the pink tiger, that's how those two grades emerged.
Okay. Okay.
There's a very limited amount of the red. There's a substantial amount of the pink tiger, and I have, on an ongoing basis, the spice. But it takes him a while to make it, and when he makes it, his glassware disintegrates afterwards. He's lost, you know, $50,000 worth of glassware over these many years manufacturing this material. He's never made any money at it. He's regarded it as a service to humanity. He says,
isn't
you know,
he
I'm
making
not,
a precipitate of borosilicate glass then?
I cannot answer that question. I simply don't know. I do know that the glass doesn't end up in the spice. It's just that the glass crumbles post-processing. It is as if instead of it being a polymer, it somehow loses the cross-hatching in the silica molecules in the glass matrix. Whether that's hydrogen boring, whether it's an effect of some silicate chemistry, I don't know.
Well, I asked, there was a $5,000 recipe from two brothers, I believe it was in Hungary or Romania, and it was a 3-day live boil in a retort that dissolved the glassware and produced a product called the spice.
Oh, this is not that material.
This is a different product.
Completely different. To my knowledge, the metallurgist does not know of that. The metallurgist has never studied alchemy, has never attempted to duplicate any other manufacturer or researcher or other process to make it. He simply went down this path and discovered this material, and then over the years found out how to high-grade it, to create increasing concentrations of it. He does not regard himself as the discoverer of it, because his understanding of the 5D is that this is the material that the Anunnaki were seeking when they first came to this planet, you know, God knows when, how many millennia ago, how many hundred millennia ago they were here. There's evidence that beings have been on this planet, intelligent, civilized beings, for over 1 million years. I'm not saying that humans have been here in our present state for that long, but certainly something was visiting here at least that long ago. My information from one of the first great wizards I ever met, his statement is, this planet was a game preserve back in Jurassic and Cretaceous times. People would come, beings would come from other parts of this galaxy on hunting expeditions. Makes sense.
It does.
And then something happened very quickly to cool the planet, and the dinosaurs lost their garden. Everything changed. About that time, mammals were on the planet, and then they began to evolve rapidly to fill ecological niches that they had been shut out of. Any other questions?
Are we going to do a raffle?
Hello, Frank.
Yes.
This is Peter.
Yes. A raffle. This would be a great moment to do the raffle, Barry. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and get started. Go ahead and ask the question.
Peter? Yeah, does it have effect on teeth, growing, re-enameling teeth that you know of?
Unknown.
I know. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Make sure you hit star 7 before you speak. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Start the raffle.
It'll take a minute.
Okay, next question.
My question is, what's the next question?
Can you tell us who you are and ask the question, please? Carry on. Okay, thanks. Here's a couple of questions for you.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Who's asking?
Donna in Tucson.
Is there any ways
of using it as far as maybe mixing it with water or wearing it in a vial? Or you just...
I have a friend who is an extreme sensitive. She has extraordinary powers of perception. And she cannot take the spice. She can only have some in a vial near her. If she has too much, she just gets too wound up.
That's what my guidance is telling me, is to, I don't know.
Yes.
I may try to, but by the way, my guidance said, you know, wear it. Or sleep with it under my pillow.
Many days I carry a vial in my pocket, my front pocket, and it just seems to be my companion.
Awesome.
And I travel around with a great deal of it in my vehicle. I don't like being separate from it.
Yeah, interesting. How about EMS? Do we keep it away, keep it away from our wireless phones and computer?
I have no data to report other than use whatever intuitive faculty you have. I do know that there's some discussion on the Weichel forum about EMF possibly causing a recursion back to a valence metal from the Ormus variety of the gold or the iridium or whatever that particular ormus was. I suspect that microwaves have an effect upon this. In fact, they tried microwaving some of this material. And thank you, Donna, for this question, because that brings up two
thank
pieces
you.
Of data.
Thank you.
The first is they tried microwaving it. They went to an appliance store, and they put it in a commercial microwave, and the glass table, the round table, the glass round table, melted to the carriage, and the entire interior of the material, the interior of the microwave oven melted down. It was a complete loss.
Well, it was popular with the store?
Yeah. Nothing happened to the spice. The spice stayed just like it was. In the present time operation, when they began to do the most recent high grading, they had an industrial electrical accident. What happened was that their refractory furnace melted down. It fused its elements. The ceramic melted 10,000 degrees. This is a 3,000 or 4,000 degree furnace. It went up somehow to 10,000 degrees and it just fried everything. But not only that, the wires going to the sub-panel downstairs, a 400-ampere service. If you don't know what a 400-ampere service is, it's floor to ceiling and the size of a walk-in closet. The bus bars are the thickness of a man's thumb and silver-plated. It melted the wires going back to the subpanel, fused the subpanel, fused the meter, and fused the wires going back to the power pole, blew up the transformer and several other transformers in the general vicinity.
probably not a good idea to play with it that way then.
Since then, from time to time, the electrical meter runs backwards. This is powerful stuff.
You think?
Yeah,
I think it's powerful stuff. It's kind of humbling to realize that here I am talking to all of you. I'm sitting in Yosemite National Park in Camp 4, looking at the mountains and cliffs and the trees and the beautiful, cool time of day. And we're talking about such an extraordinary thing that has such an extraordinary potential for the human race. That this is having a capacity to wake people up out of their sheeple mentality. That's extraordinary. And here we are as a community, kind of in a sacred service. Good on us. And I am grateful to every one of you that called in to give me the opportunity to participate in this type of conversation. It is a rare privilege. Thank you very much for listening.
Well, thank you for doing this because your voice and your lucidity has significantly changed for the better since the last time we spoke.
Thank you. Part of it is I got a great wife. It keeps me in line. Not fun to be the husband sometimes, but I got a great wife.
There you go.
Interesting.
Well, hey,
we've got 10 minutes of the call. So any other questions that people want to ask, hey, before our time is up?
We've got some, how many winners on the raffle here?
There are three winners. One is for the original material. A vial of the original material worth $75.
Mm-hmm.
One of the new material for $150. And one of the pink tiger for $300. I really want to see Barry's work supported. So we've given out a number of samples and now this. And I just say, let's just make this a successful thing as possible.
Okay. Well, the winners are, Tricia.
Is that for the $75 material?
That's the first one.
Yep.
Kate and Michelle.
And we honor the divine feminine three times.
Okay. So there we go, and I'll send out the names of the winners here.
Okay. Very good. Barry, if you will email me your telephone number, when I get back to civilization, I will call you up and we'll figure out the shipping and the addresses, etc.
Okay. Good.
Thank
you. Are there any comments from anyone who would like to kind of riff on what some of the topics are and kind of share how they're true for you and your own experience and other experiences that you have that dovetail with what's been discussed today?
How much of this each day do you take? Do you take it on a daily basis?
More or less. I'll take like a wooden match head amount a day or more.
Mm-hmm. A tiny pinch.
just a tiny pinch. Sometimes I will take the vial and shake it up and open up the cap right underneath my nose and just smell the powder, and I get an instant hit from it that way. Sometimes I'll put a little in water. Sometimes you can use it in with an oil and apply it dermally.
About how much is in a vial?
There are approximately 15 cc's or a tablespoon or 2 grams. I have not weighed this. I just fill up the vials, and it seems to be an appropriate amount. A vial will last you at least a month and a half, 2 months, if you use it regularly.
It's around about 2 thimbles full, Thomas.
Yeah, approximately.
Oh, why, thanks. I'm just left-braining it here.
A vial is about 2 inches tall and about a half an inch in diameter.
Very good, thank you.
I think you'll like it.
Hello?
I'm kind of wandering around in a slightly altered state right now. Very pleasant, I have to tell you. And it's just a gorgeous day here on the Gold Coast. It's cold, but beautiful, clear. And I'm just feeling very happy about it. My existence. You might have noticed.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you. It's nice. And I'm a connoisseur of so many different kinds of almonds that I have a lot of perspective on what's possible in the Ormi world. And because as I mentioned in my Rise on the Ormus Forum and in my promo of Bing's Call, usually people send me their products before I do a conference call. And which is their entryway interview with me. I usually like their stuff beforehand. And
yeah.
I'm impressed with things for the alchemist or metallurgist material. Because it's very impressive. Anyway, anyone else got any questions or comments? Speak up
this
now to hold your peace. Hi, Lonnie.
This is Lonnie. Yes, this has been a very expansive subject, but I have a mundane question. You mentioned
yeah.
Dwala.com, and do
yeah.
you accept electronic payments, or you
yeah.
also mentioned personal check?
Yes. I have not finished the link up for Dwala, but it's I'm at the threshold of the whole thing. I just got waylaid in my water business in Anu Water. I took over in the beginning of June the CEO role and had to upgrade my own capabilities to do so, and it's taken a great deal of time away from the spice. And I apologize for not having my website and all the links available so that anybody can send me money in order without having to send checks in and all that. I apologize. It's just I'm still a limited person. I have a limited amount of time, and it's not been a high priority for me. I apologize.
So for now, the best way is personal check, and
yeah.
we make that out to Industrial Water Quality?
You do.
Or okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else want to say anything?
Yes, this is Paul in Imperial Beach.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I was wondering, did you say that the spice helps counteract that enzyme that breaks down dimethyltryptamine?
Apparently, yes. That's my understanding.
Oh, and I was also curious, John Maluski, he's been extracting gold and stuff from glass. I was just curious if what would happen if you sent some of the borosilicate glass remnants that you guys had and sent it to him, see what he could extract from it.
That's a great idea. If you'll send me an email with his contact information, I will gather some of that next time there's a production run and there is such a glass and see what he can do.
Good idea.
Fantastic. Anyone else?
I think they're all full.
I want to thank you about
talking about the spiritual aspects about this stuff, because I think that's where it's all leading, and I keep talking about it as well, out of body stuff, and I think it's leading to an expansive state that will facilitate our transition to a higher frequency. Blah blah blah.
Yep.
Hey,
I agree.
Dennis, you would ask about the name of the enzyme that inhibits DMT.
I don't know the name of that enzyme.
No, I was just letting Dennis know. I think it's called monoamide oxidase inhibitor, or monoamide oxidase, MAO,
right.
Possibly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That is correct.
Monoamide, would you give me that name again, please?
Monoamide oxidase.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the classic antidepressants are MAO inhibitors like Elavil and Wellbutrin. Are MAO.
Yeah, I never took it once. I never got past the mono.
Monoamine oxidase.
Great. Thank you. Get that. So that's the same as MAO. Thank you.
DMT is dimethyltryptamine. It used to be sold as a psychedelic, the so-called businessman's trip in the 1970s, for those of you who were alive in those days.
I was alive but can't remember a thing.
Well, my memory's gotten so much better since I've been doing Ormus. Now I can remember all those days.
Well, there you go.
I have one more comment.
Yep.
When my package arrived, I haven't taken it yet because I wanted to wait for the call. I got these little blue sparkles around it. I mean, I put it in the corner of my room, and when I set it down, there was like little blue sparkles. Well, the best way I can describe them in the air around it. Have you had anyone
interesting.
Else? Yeah.
I can say that I gave some to a physicist in Boulder, Colorado. When he was driving back home, he reported that he could see the ultraviolet reflection off of the stop signs driving down the road.
Hmm. But I haven't even taken it yet. I mean, it's just sitting on the shelf.
It's probably talking to you, isn't it?
Proximity
effect.
And I knew it was in the mailbox before I got to the mailbox, because I was going to send you an email because I was anxious to get it, eager to get it. And I thought, well, I better check my mailbox first, and there it was. But so it's talking to me.
There you go.
Right on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Dennis, I'm feeling like we're at the end.
It does feel like that, and thank you so much. It's been a wonderful, spectacular call, Ben, as I suspected it would be. And I love it when I'm right.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Aaron.
So we're gonna sign off, and I'm gonna drop down to the organic market here on the Gold Coast and get some vittles and goodies. Thank you so much for being on the call, guys.
We just had a wonderful time. Dennis.
Yeah, mate.
Dennis. Aaron wanted to say something.
Aaron, speak up.
Yes, hi, this is Aaron, and I just wanted to thank Banks for the call. Also, I would like to add that a couple of things. One, Banks, you mentioned earlier about, if I heard you correctly, you mentioned earlier about the spiritual effect of the spice in terms of teachings being transmitted. And I wanted to say that there's a time period in taking the spice where this is intensely so through dreams, and it's a very enlightening time period that I imagine everyone who would take the spice would experience.
Cool.
The other thing is a question, actually. Banks, can you comment on how long the effects of the spice last when a person is on it for a while?
I suspect that the cognition of its effect drops below the threshold of awareness, and that the effect is somewhat permanent simply because a person will change their behavior as a result. Something will shift. It'll shift their perception and their awareness, and so that effect, the actual derived effect in their life seems to be more or less permanent. The effect of expanded consciousness, I would imagine, is about a 72-hour, maybe a 3 to 7 day effect where you notice something and it's kind of, the rest of you kind of catches up with that. As it percolates through the entire nervous system, everything gets ratcheted up. So what was seeming so heightening before becomes the mundane.
There you go.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Bank, I had a quick question.
Where best are you, Aaron?
Right now I'm actually in Europe, but I would be calling originally from Connecticut.
Okay, cool. So that'll be the end of our call for today. Thank you so much for calling in. It's been a fabulous call, and don't be surprised if very, very often what usually happens is people feel much more expanded after these calls. I know the only thing I can ascribe that to is what I call the spirit of Ormus. And it would appear that the Ormus realm is rich and replete with all manner of spirit, what we would loosely call spiritual entities or beings. And I certainly know that this is certainly true for people who have experience with the illness that I have the privilege of being the conduit for. And I certainly feel the richness of the spiritual experience that's associated with this. And thank you very much for being on the call. But with that, I'm going to... And this gentleman, anyone else wants to pitch in at the last minute or something? I'm going to wind this baby up.
We're getting too much noise. I think we probably better just wind it up.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Bye for now,
okay,
thank you for being on the call, everyone.